This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Lair's Lair, episode 6. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Katie.
And this week we are covering Dessert Week on Dessert the Great Week. British Bake Off. Katie, your thoughts?
Sorry, I was really excited to get into it. This felt like a warm return to the kind of hug that I need GBBO to be after the travesty that was last week, of which we will not speak again.
They have at least temporarily righted the ship.
They have righted
after
the ship.
That disaster, like all-time low point of Bake Off last week. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, and it felt like we were really back. There were a lot of things that showed up in this episode that just really made me feel warm, and that feeling reminds me of what I love about this show. So I really enjoyed this week.
Any particular bright spots for
you? Well, I mean, overall, I think there were a lot of things as we go through the challenges that were really wonderful. But a couple of things like that I watched this with just like a really open heart to a lot of the lightness and whimsy.
Okay.
And I thought the bits that Noel and Matt did were actually pretty cute and funny this week.
Matt had a good week.
He did. He's coming around for me.
Like the intro is like never actually funny, but it was harmless.
Yep.
His and Noel's.
Well, it was harmful last week. So this felt like, you know, it was a very needed harmless go around. Yes.
Right. Yeah. The ceiling is very low for me on those bits, but they were near that ceiling of like, this is fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I thought he had two like slightly more pointed jokes than they usually participate in.
Okay, let's hear it.
The first being he said something about like, shockingly for this show, this element is required to be baked.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes!
Which,
come on.
Which could be read, I think, probably the more reasonable reading of that is like,
duh,
yeah, no shit,
show?
It's the Great British Bake Off.
But also,
but maybe if we're going with our hypothesis coming into the season that Matt seems to maybe be aware of some of the critiques of Bake Off.
Yep.
That might be like a subtle nod to,
we got to get back to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We made tacos last week and we made pizza the week before.
Yep. I like that.
I also thought his comment when they were talking about they had their little huddle before the showstopper, and Paul was talking about how this might just be too much for some of the bakers, and Matt's like, well, surely that's your fault for setting challenges that are too hard.
It's like, true. I also really appreciated his Paul impersonation about the chocolate cake.
Oh, yes, yes,
when he
yes.
walked by,
I had
and
that
he
one
just
too. Yeah.
That was very funny. I know it's chocolate, but it's a bit chocolatey to me. I would have put less chocolate, but also more chocolate. Like, spot on.
And moments later, I know that was a parody of Paul, but moments later, Prue said that the moose is very moose-like.
Love it. Other things I love this week. So, okay, when you and I started watching like all of the back seasons of Bake during the early days of COVID, one of the things that was really wonderful was all of the wildlife updates that they used to do.
True. We had a lot this week, and we had been very thin for a while.
We haven't seen any of the animals on the estate, and this week we saw ducks and sheep and squirrels, and I loved it.
I think there was
Did I miss an animal?
There were ducks, sheep, squirrels. I just wrote... I didn't write down specifically
mallards.
What it was in my notes. Just that there were a lot of animals.
There were a lot of animals. I loved it.
I thought there... Damn, whatever. This literally could not matter less. I think there was one more
animal. It mattered
enough
for both of us to write it down in our notes.
I'm saying what the third animal that I can't remember is completely inconsequential.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. That's correct. The other thing I really liked that appeared in triplicate was help. Bakers helping each other.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
There were several instances of that this week.
We saw Maxie helping Yanush. Kevin lent Shabira his scissors, which, like, I don't know. I just like that they showed that. And then they had the very sweet part where Carol helped Kevin figure out fondant for his dog's eyes.
Do you think that happens often and it only makes the cut once in a while?
Hmm.
Or do you think it is actually pretty rare?
I don't know. It's a good question. I hope that they capture it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope it's part of just what happens in the tent.
I also, in maybe just the slightest possible walking back of our critique from last week's episode, just very minor.
Mm. Mm.
Carol just mispronounces most things.
This is true. This is true.
So the guacamoleo may not have been specifically a... She might just have a lot of... It might not be a blind spot as much as it is, like, a speech issue.
Okay, yeah. In which case, like, I feel like we don't want to call her to the carpet for that. That's just mean.
Yes, right.
Yeah, there's a lot to be mean about for last week's episode, but the individual bakers showing up the way they did isn't the thing that I meant to spotlight.
Yes. So, although I did title the episode Holy Guacamoleo...
Wheel.
Maybe it's not quite as bad as I initially thought.
Okay. Speaking of Carol, another thing I loved about this week was how many times the Netflix subtitles told us what nonverbal thing she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
The few that I caught, sputters, blubbers, grunts.
Well, she was making horse sounds at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. I just loved it. I think we've covered this before,
but if you're not watching Bake Off with the subtitles on,
You're
probably
your
missing
30s.
About 20% of the show. So what'd you say?
I said you're not in your late 30s.
Well, that too. Or you're British and can actually understand what the fuck is going on
also,
most of the time.
Also, that's true. That's true. No, I really enjoyed that. So speaking of things that show up in subtitles, you want to talk about vocab this
Ooh,
week?
Nice transition.
Thank you.
Yes, because I had a couple.
Okay, tell me what you got.
I had syllabub.
Yeah.
And then also bubble. I don't know if those are two separate things or if those are related.
A bubble is like a piece of air inside of a... No? Is that not?
A piece of air.
Oh, gosh.
Finish that sentence, please.
Okay. Okay.
No trail off. What was the rest of that?
Nope. We're just going to keep going because I couldn't actually describe that super well.
It's like a round piece of air, right?
Syllabub.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Get ready. This is something you're going to love.
Oh, no.
Syllabub is a sweet dish made by curdling sweet cream or milk with an acid, such as wine or cider. It's often thickened with gelatin and served as a dessert
Jesus. Or
sometimes a drink.
Curdle something and then thicken it.
Yep.
Mm.
I knew you would really love that.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, curdled things known for their delicious flavor.
Yeah, you're not just that, like, you're specifically not into that.
Mm-mm.
Some people are. Matt is. I don't know.
Okay. So it's some weird British dessert.
Yes.
Okay.
And then bubble, I'm not really sure. Like, I heard that too, but I thought he was just like calling back to syllabub. I don't know.
I figured they were related somehow.
I kind of thought so. I didn't really take note of that one. What else?
And then off.
Is off piste?
Piste? Yeah.
Yes.
What is that?
That is, it originates in French and it is a skiing term that means like, off of a prepared ski run, like off-piste slopes. Basically, like you're charting your own run.
Oh.
Like off-script, off-notes. Yeah.
Off, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Also the name of a 2016 film called Off-Piste.
So they were using that to say like someone was going sort of off the board or...
Off-script, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're taking some chances. You're uncharted territory.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. And then the last one I had was Fanny Craddock.
Yeah, I feel like we covered her already.
Oh, okay. Well,
Fanny, yeah, because she's in my Google search history. She was an English restaurant critic, television chef, and writer in the 70s.
All right.
So, like, she's kind of a old standby English cook.
Phyllis Nan Sortain.
Yep. Petchy? Pichet?
How the hell do you get from that to Fanny Craddock?
I mean, I think Fanny and Nan are related.
Why? How?
The Anne part? I don't know.
Oh, well, she married someone with the last name Craddock, so yeah. There's half of it.
Yeah. Major right. Johnny Craddock, who played the part of a slightly bumbling, henpecked partner. Oh, great. That sounds like a super good gender role that I'd be into.
This has been Katie and Spencer Read Wikipedia.
You should have a special musical cue just for that, because it happens every episode.
Well, not for me. I just ask you stuff, and then you read Wikipedia to me.
This is true. While we're talking overall stuff...
Did you have any other slang before we move on?
No other slang or vocab for me, but fashion.
There were some good ones this week.
Okay, what did you notice?
Well, Noel's jumper obviously jumped out at me right away.
Ugh, do you have 300 pounds and can I order it right now
almost.
From
I'm
Marc Jacobs?
Almost, I'm about 220 right now. I could probably get there.
Well, what's the conversion rate?
I think it's the same. I think
that
that's
one
like
doesn't change?
Gravity specific.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, this is a really awesome Marc Jacobs sweater. It is called the Blue Buggy Bear Sweater. Yep.
Wow.
I
available
would like
on Essence right now.
Available on Essence, mm-hmm. Yes.
Great.
And
we need to get like a Patreon going.
Ooh.
We're not going to offer anything. It's just going to be where you guys can donate money for us for me to buy the shit that Noel wears.
Well, I mean, you have been talking about like you might want to do a video episode one of these days. We've got to show up with good fits if we're doing that.
I love that I asked you before the episode if you'd be cool recording video, and you said no, and then teased it within the first 10 minutes of the episode.
I would be in the future, just not today, because I like had a hat on most of the day and was biking a lot. So anyway, what other fashion did you like today, my love?
I thought it was cute that Matt and I think it was Carol kind of had mm-hmm. matching floral things going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, like tropical florals sort of. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And then my last one was that this was a Paul Hollywood dresses like an adult week.
Yeah.
He tends to alternate about every other.
Oh, I'm going to look for this now.
And by that, I mostly mean his jeans weren't embroidered.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he
maybe
was
I should add a Road to the Matrix for this.
Wearing like a normal shirt.
Yeah, it was normal. And like the normal undershirt shirt combo in a normal tent color.
Tent.
It's the color of the tent.
It's true. White?
Yeah. And like creamy. Mm. So the aprons are that color.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I do think it's funny whenever they're standing up at the front of the tent to describe the next challenge, when he tries to put his hands in his pockets, but they don't fit.
His big meat hands don't fit in his tiny little pockets.
Are his jeans really tight? Do they have tiny pockets? Are his hands giant? Or is he doing the thing where like sometimes on camera it looks weird to have your whole hand in your pocket? Like, is he doing it intentionally?
Can I choose E, all of the above?
Tight, small pockets, tight pants, big hands, trying to look good on camera. Yeah, yeah, okay. Those could all happen, I guess. Cool.
That's what I'm going with. My money's on that.
Did you have others?
Well, this week, I really thought this was like a great week to spotlight fashion choices that I would be totally cool aging into in the next few decades.
Hmm.
Like, super wear Dawn's old lady overalls. Like her linen-y overalls. I would be super all about that.
Was it overalls and then a shirt? Or was that like a long sleeve jumper situation?
No, I think that was a shirt underneath her overalls. It was tough to tell because of the apron.
Right.
But like when you saw her from the back, you could tell that that was a single like piece, but it was also like separate from the shirt. It had like straps.
Mm, got yeah. it. Okay.
And then just like Prue every week. But I also really liked Prue's affinity for Yanusha's rainbow cake because she's an old lady who just likes rainbow colors. I just liked it.
Prue seems like she might not be aware of the significance of that.
But there's probably a Venn diagram there with rainbow in the middle that like she may or may not be aware of.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of how I felt about the overall.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Abdul, he looks good every week. There's nothing flashy.
He's adorable.
There's nothing flashy going on, but like he dresses really well.
Yep.
Which I think also is how I feel about him on the show in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And is never mentioned.
Just low key doing well.
Gets very little screen time.
Yeah.
Although when he does, he's funny.
He's funny.
He's good on screen.
He's smart.
This week he crushed the signature.
Mm-hmm.
Was second in the technical.
Yeah.
And was on screen for like 5 minutes total.
It's a strong point. Very strong
I like that
point.
Guy. He's never been near the bottom. I would argue that he could have been near the top a couple of times. He's just hanging around and being good at baking and being cute.
I think you're right. Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely agree. He's just a like very nice person every time we see him.
If I had to place a bet on one of these bakers to win the rest of the way, if I were getting odds, I think he would be the best value bet right now.
Okay. All right.
Maybe I'll handicap it next week and that could be like a special addition to the form.
Well, we do need to, well, we'll get to this, but
we had some issues with the form this week. They were my fault. I apologize.
That wasn't what I was going to say, thank you for apologizing and owning that.
What had happened was I had just run a half marathon, was in another town. My computer barely works and we got distracted.
Yeah.
And then I didn't put it in the notes.
That's all fair.
And then most of you listened to the episode before I added it to the notes.
So thanks to all 26 of you who still competed this week.
Yeah, apologies.
Sorry.
Apologies.
And also, like, please, if you missed last week, please jump in again to the challenges.
Yes.
I really want to see your picks, and we will get to that at the end of the show. Okay.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
So, the signature, steamed puddings.
Steamed puds.
Puds.
Although I still don't know what a pud is.
It's a dessert.
Because Prue called a lemon meringue pie her favorite pud.
Yep. I mean, I think we've been through this.
I know.
But, like, just to refresh, puddings are just, like, the rectangles of, like, a square is a rectangle, a rhombus, like, all of these. Okay. Shit, I lost the plot.
What's a rhombus?
I lost the geometry plot.
I need you to tell me what a rhombus is and what a bubble is before we go any further.
Fun fact, your instant message screen name when I met you was Dr. Rhombus, so I'm not going to explain that to you at all.
Okay.
Okay, so steamed puddings.
Yeah. There were a few good ones and at least one classic bake-off mistake.
Oof, yeah. I mean,
you never use extract. They hate extracts.
Well, okay. There were a few classic mistakes in this one. First of all, like, I feel like this challenge took us back to something that, like, this is a pretty classic bake-off challenge, mm-hmm. like a steamed pudding. But, like, we also saw some classic mishaps in this one. Like, they named the two things that could go wrong. The last thing they want to see is a dry sponge. And also, the other end of the spectrum is that it's not set. We know, like, one of those has a good chance of happening, and one did.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most likely way you would mess this up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And a couple people messed up. A
couple people messed up. Yeah. I did really like, despite the fact that, like, Carol's just splooged everywhere, that...
Gross.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, glooped everywhere? I don't know. What word would be good for that?
Carry on.
One of the things I really liked was that, you know, the illustrator, like... definitely illustrated that after it was done, but he made it look as though it had been executed well.
Why is the illustrator a man?
I actually know that from listening to the Sticky Bun Boys.
Oh, well, makes sense.
So, but no, I thought that was like a very charitable outlook at the time it shows up.
Okay, so for that bake where you're steaming these, whatever they are.
Puds.
but it's like a sponge.
Yeah, it's like a sponge.
Steamed sponge cake, right?
Yep.
The water has to be hot when you pour it into the baking tray. And then you cover it and put it in the oven.
Because so otherwise it doesn't get up to temperature and steam the whole time.
Right. So you want it steaming immediately.
Yeah.
So they showed Carol taking water from the tap and pouring it into her baking tray. Her
pan. Yeah.
What was
You knew it was going to go badly.
Right. She should have. Because she said then my water wasn't hot enough. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Boiling water doesn't come out of the tap.
Correct. Yeah.
It was very unclear to me why she elected to do that if she knew that that was going to be the result of doing that. Like, did she run out of time and just was hoping that that would work?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like she knew what she was doing generally. Although the first cut of her was burning her plums.
Burnt me plums.
And she had to start over.
I feel like everyone else was using a kettle or something.
Yeah.
To get the water hot first.
Yeah. Classic misstep.
Except whatever weird thing Kevin was doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because that's the other misstep, is like choosing a recipe that is really not a good match for the challenge at hand.
No, it wasn't the same. Wasn't the same thing. It wasn't the same thing. It was just like a weird dumpling.
Yeah, and I appreciate trying to bring in his like food identity. And I always appreciate when people try to show up in different ways. This one felt like just maybe a different category. And as soon as you say, like, this recipe is difficult to compare with everyone else's, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, you got to pick your spots a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
Like, sure, bring the Scottish stuff. Bring the things that you like to cook, but, or sorry, bake.
Bake. Well, baking show.
Or cook, apparently.
Tacos.
But you gotta find where it fits.
Yeah.
You don't make dumplings when everyone else is making a sponge. Yeah, like correct. That's not,
it just doesn't make sense. Mm-mm. Yeah. Okay. So then the third like big misstep, like you said, you never think it's going to go well when Paul's like, are you using an extract? ? Raised eyebrows.
If you've watched this show at all, you know that they hate extracts. Anytime anyone uses it, one, they ask up front, like, are you sure? And then once they taste it, they're like,
this tastes fake.
Every time.
I know.
They've never been like, oh, wow, you really nailed the amount of whatever extract in there.
Yeah, yep.
Never works.
Nope.
Although I did like that Shabira was giving herself notes for, quote, next time.
I did like that, too.
Next time I'm on the bake-off.
Well, hang on, that happened later. Better. That happened later.
Oh, was that wasn't that big?
That wasn't that big.
Okay.
I thought her watermelon puds, though, were, like, by far the most attractive.
I really wanted
that concept to work out. And I was really impressed by that, aside from the, it seems like she just was heavy-handed with the extract and that was it.
Yeah. The very first one that they did a close-up on was just a labia cupcake, though.
Okay. I mean, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see it. Yeah. I mean, Shabira is a little cheeky. Maybe she meant it that way.
Hmm. Oh, one other thing about Kevin's. Why did he pour 8 shots of what I'm assuming is whiskey? No one tasted one. Also,
well, it was probably scotch.
Sure. Which is whiskey.
Whiskey, but I know.
Why pour them if you're not going to offer them to anyone? And then there aren't 8 people. There are 2 people judging. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a sip. Maybe you offer one to Matt or Noel. That's 5 at the most.
The crew is just getting hammered at the end of that bake.
He made 12 things, right?
So no, he had 8. Everybody had to do 8.
Okay, so it was 1-to-1, I guess.
It was 1-to-1, yeah. It was a serving.
One shot of whiskey per dumpling.
Per, like, big cootie. Clootie? Clootie.
Clootie. Cootie dumplings.
Okay, so up at the top for this, we had Abdul, Don, Maxie, and Sandro. And then, like, getting some kind of feedback all the way to being just bad, we had Yanush, Shabira, Kevin, and Carol. Like, a very clear dividing line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else on the signature for you?
Maxie's was a great eat.
It was a great eat. Oh, yeah. And perfectly sticky. Mm-hmm. Love that. All right.
Technical time. Kind of a mess.
Okay. So first off, do you like lemon meringue pie?
I don't really care for meringue.
Okay.
So no.
Okay.
I also don't know if I've ever really had like really good meringue.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I would give it another. I had it as a kid and didn't love it and haven't really given it a shot recently.
Okay. Did one of your, like, Minnesota Swedish relatives make it?
First of all, rude. I know what the implication is there, and rude. Swedes can bake just fine.
Okay. Maxie can bake just great.
Yeah. But also, no.
Okay.
It's one of my dad's favorite desserts, so we would have it once in a while.
I knew that.
But we were not like a, we didn't eat particularly well as a family. Okay. Or like, you know, not a lot of fine dining happening in my 1990s suburban household. So I may have just like never really had a good one.
Okay.
But lemon and crust.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, meringue is like marshmallows, basically. But yeah. Delicious and crunchy and good.
I think I've just had it when it's too soft and then it's gross.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I mean, Janusz could tell you exactly what it should be like and he could walk you through it. I mean, this was truly the challenge where he was just like the shining example of answering all the questions that the other bakers had off. Like, they cut to him answering them. I loved it.
This was his real Jürgen moment.
His real Jürgen moment. Yep.
I do wonder how he has so much general baking knowledge, because he seems like the like resident baking encyclopedia guy of this season, but he can't be more than like 30. He looks pretty young.
I think he is pretty young. He is 34.
Yeah. Okay.
He's 34. I mean, you can accrue a lot of knowledge by your mid 30s.
Apparently it's possible. So I've heard.
Okay.
I had nothing else. That was all I got.
So we had a couple of soggy bottoms here.
Yeah.
Classic soggy bottom moments.
I was confused about Dawn's. Speaking of our more experienced bakers.
Yeah.
Why didn't she just make more filling? If she knew while she was making it that it wasn't going to be enough. Why not make more at that point? Because that doesn't take that long, right?
Maybe the cut showed it near the end, or like maybe it seemed like she had more time, but she actually didn't at the point where she realized it. I don't know.
But you also have to let your crust blind bake for 15 minutes.
True, which is when you're making the filling and the meringue.
And neither of those things should take that long, right?
How long did they have? 2 hours?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It just seemed weird. And like you said, it may not have been in sequence to how it actually happened, but if you know while you're making it that it's not going to be enough.
Yeah. And you've made it before and you know how much it should be.
Right.
Yeah. Strong point.
Also, they weren't working from a recipe. So if she's made it a bunch of times, wouldn't she also know?
She'd generally know how much would be in one pie's worth.
Yeah. That was, it may have just been an editing thing, but it was weird to me to watch her the whole way be like, oh, this is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
This is not right. Oh, this sucks. This isn't right.
Yeah. I mean, as Paul said at the end, like, she had a lot of little things that she screwed up on that snowballed for her this week. So I don't know. I don't know how much of it was that, too, where, like, maybe she thought she had enough, but then she ran out of time or what. Yeah. But it was too bad because it was clear that she, like, was beating herself up because she had done this a bunch before. So unlike Shabira.
Also, never say that you've done something a bunch of times because they're going to put it in the cut.
Yeah, it's never going to look good for you.
Whether or not yours turns out well. It's either going to be like, yeah, look, Dawn made this all the time and now she made it and it's great. Or Dawn makes this all the time and what the fuck happened to Dawn's pie? She said she was good at this. You're just setting yourself up for like, there's no upside.
That's true. Yeah. Well, she was absolutely beep fuming, which was very cute.
Wait, huh?
She said absolutely beep fuming.
As in they edited
her? She censored herself.
Oh, she actually said the word beep.
Yeah, it was adorable. It was very cute.
I think it'd be hilarious if people just started throwing around all kinds of curses and they had to edit them out on the show.
Well, they do edit it out when it airs in the UK. If there's like any cursing, we see it, but the people in the UK don't.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Sometimes they say things.
I don't really remember there ever being any.
It's a little bit. It's like a light dusting. Not a ton.
Dusting of curses.
Yeah.
I noticed last week or a couple weeks ago that it was rated TV 14.
Ooh. Was it because of like labia?
I think it was because you had to watch
like watermelons or whatever.
I think it was because you had to watch Prue eat that taco. It's considered violence in an adult situation.
All right. Well, this, okay, so bringing us back. So Shabira was at the bottom. It was her first ever lemon meringue. And this is where she said, you got to eat all the British classics, even if you don't like them.
She was clearly like, fucking Brits and their weird desserts.
Yep. Yeah. Like, how about I make a corn pie?
Yeah. That, another good Matt moment. Matt was just like, seven other people making this. You could probably make something different. Good bit.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that.
She's going to have to eat seven lemon meringue pies. Might appreciate something different.
All right. Anything else on the technical?
I think that exhausts my notes.
All right. Well, let's move on to the mousse cake with a surprise inside showstopper.
Yeah.
Another pretty cool challenge, I thought.
Yeah. Good week of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Good bit having no instructions for the previous one.
Very
also,
good bit. Yes.
I don't know if we touched on that. Anytime, it is 4:01 and Marcy has awakened for dinner at 4 p.m.
Correct. He's just staring at me.
Might have to hustle through the last bit of this. Anytime there's gelatin involved, somebody is fucked.
You know it.
Somebody is going to make an inedible cake.
Correct. Or it's going to go gloop everywhere.
Did Carol say she put 30 sheets of gelatin into hers?
30 sheets. That's a lot of sheets.
And I don't think that was even one of their comments on hers, was it? That it was too rubbery or anything?
No, they did think her textures were poor. Like, her chocolate mousse was very, very gelatinous.
Oh, okay. I thought they were just critiquing the cake part of it, but
no, that was the chocolate mousse that was the most offensive.
And then, man, I really want, I think if Abdul had not fucked up his gelatin ratio, it's okay, buddy.
Hi, Marcy.
He was in line for Star Baker this week.
That cake looked amazing.
He did so well in the first two challenges.
Yes.
Bruce said it was the best mirror glaze she's ever seen.
Yeah, like a fine piece of marble.
Super creative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul was on board too. And then
the interior looked amazing. All of those planets looked so cool. It was so cool.
Too much gelatin.
Too much gelatin.
And maybe he wouldn't have been able to pull off the look without going overboard with the gelatin.
True.
But I wanted that Abdul Star Baker this week.
I know. And you knew as soon as they cut into that, like you could see it glooping on the knife. You knew it wasn't good.
Yeah. You could see it like pull away on the top.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. Four of the eight bakers had like too much gelatin, which is like a very classic thing that happens in these types of challenges.
Which
so.
I understand if you're going to be rushed, like maybe you don't have enough time for things to set and presenting something that is rubbery is better than presenting something that is a puddle.
That's true. Yep. Because sometimes, even if you have one texture that's slightly off, your overall presentation can get you the win or the not loss. Yeah.
Or even, I think, sort of, what's the word? Subconsciously, you're going to grade that person a little better.
Yeah.
Because your first impression was like, oh, damn, that looks good.
Mm-hmm. Followed by maybe disappointment instead of not achieving.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than someone handing you a puddle.
Oh,
on a plate.
Poor Dawn. This is another one this week where the illustration was very generous and like actually looked like what she wanted it to look like versus what it did.
Yeah. So do they typically do those? They must do them after the bake, right?
That is what I have learned. So they do those after the bake. Yeah.
Because otherwise,
you'd just be
going on a description.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think there's a fair amount of license when something goes very poorly or not as planned.
Well, yeah. Because also,
it wouldn't be cool.
Well, no, you would ruin the outcome for the viewer. Like,
you
have to present it as its best self.
Exactly.
For our sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was really tough to see Dawn so stressed in the tent this week because it seems like she really I just want her to do better and I think she can.
Yeah, I do. For as much as I've had issues with this season and specifically some of the challenges that have been set, every week, or I feel like at least most weeks, there's been a pretty clear-cut person who can't hang.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I think they're doing a really good job of weeding out the actual weaker bakers.
I agree with you, totally.
Like, every week, it's been clear, like, oh, Rebs just can't cut it. Or, like, Carol just, you can't hang. You went 0 for 3. You presented stuff that was not even finished.
Mm-hmm.
As messy as some of these challenges have been, they are very successful in weeding out the weaker bakers.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
But Carol and Dawn both probably deserved to go this week.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And also, like, it was very clear, too, that Sandro was very confident and, like, thought he had it together and did.
Sandro was feeling it this week.
He was feeling it.
He was posing for the camera. Uh-huh.
Dancing.
Making
his jelly dance.
Laying on the floor, checking his oven.
Yeah. I would check his... I don't know.
No, you finish your sentences. You would check his what?
Oven.
Okay.
It's not... It doesn't even mean anything. What does that even mean?
It's hot in there.
Yeah. I mean, even like... I really liked watching Maxie. Like, she had never made a mousse before, but she really did a great job of it. And, like, she nailed her textures. So, I don't know. It was cool to see people, like, showing up and being very competent. And, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It seems like they're also getting into the swing of being in the tent and, like, not getting as nervous as they did in the earlier challenges. So, it's fun to watch.
I guess that's sort of my point is, like, there's a clear line being drawn between... the Maxis, Sandros, Yanushas, and like the Carols, the Dawns, the Rebs. Like.
Yeah. But it's going to get tougher from here on out because, like, of the folks who are left, I mean, they all did, like, some of them had the bad texture situation, but like Kevin's cake looked super cool. I think his dog cake was really creative and well executed, except for a couple of like missed textures.
He's just not as consistent.
Yeah, as evidenced by the sploogey, cloody, whatever those are. Cluties. Sorry, I keep saying the word you don't
cluties.
Like.
Mm. All right, let's, if we're with the signature or the showstopper.
As we talk about Carol leaving, I think, she definitely couldn't hang, but it was so, like, I actually teared up at the end when she was talking about leaving and how cool it was for her to try something new at this point in her life and to just like go for it and for her to come to the tent and really like do well for a series of weeks. Yeah. Like that's a really cool thing. So I loved that part of it too. That was just nice.
Let's get a quick league update before our dog starts audibly appearing on the podcast.
Okay. So talking about kind of drawing that line, I will say that nobody picked Carol this week in our league.
That's not surprising.
And the most picked this week, again, like sticking with kind of those lines being drawn, were Maxie, Shabira, and Yanush. This week's winning combo would have been Sandro, Yanush, and Maxie for maximum points.
Yep.
And
maximum points.
Maximum points, yes. Also, we had a bonus this week that wasn't super on.
Look, we had a tough week with the form.
Oh, yeah, we did. Whatever. It's fine. So our bonus question was how many bakers will include a sugar work element in their showstopper? And I took a little license on the grading with this, as I will do every single week.
There's nothing actually at stake here.
Zero things at stake. So Shabira made honeycomb on the outside of her cake.
Oh, sure.
In the showstopper. I'm going to call that a sugar work element.
That counts.
And then also Abdul made those isomalt little things in his signature. I'm giving that a 2. So we had six people who got that. Anna S., Aaron M., Rhonda B., Brooke T., Lulu, and Jonas B. So congrats to you guys for getting the bonus question. So with all of that in mind, at the bottom this week, we had a 4-way tie for last place with -4 points. We had Michelle D., Aaron H., Kathy C., and Alyssa D. Better luck next time to you folks. And at the top this week, we had... in a 2-way tie for 4th place with 27 points, Rhonda B. and Jonas B. And then at the top, we had a 3-way tie with 33 points, Jennifer C., Sarah A., and Jake W., who got his picks in just in the nick of time.
Ooh.
So, congratulations to everybody. And once again, really sorry about this week. Really hope that everybody who's listening, you get your picks in because it's a lot of fun. And we look forward to welcoming you into our game tent. So next week... Halloween week. It's the first ever Halloween week in the tent.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Are they bringing back what's her name, the guest host?
Okay, that is what I really, really, really hope happens.
What was her name?
Helena.
Yes.
Halloween enthusiast Helena.
She's got to be like a guest third presenter or something.
She has to be. Or show up in the intro or something.
Because she and Noel always had a good vibe,
too. They had a great vibe. They were like kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved, loved, loved that.
Hopefully we get a Helena cameo. That'd be lovely.
I really hope so. Also, I have a good idea for a bonus question for next week.
Oh, good.
How many bakes will have a boozy tipple in them?
A boozy what?
How many of the bakes are going to have booze in them?
What word did you say, though?
Tipple.
What is that?
Like a little tidbit of booze, just like a doop doop. I'm making a hand motion, but that's not helpful for a podcast.
A little boop boop. Squirt, squirt, boop boop.
Yes.
Okay.
So how many individual bakes are going to have booze?
All right.
Okay.
Is that like a Halloween thing or
no.
Just what? Okay.
It's just like there's, I don't know, like they all play to that. So let's see how many times it shows up.
How many bakes will be spooky?
Ooh.
As defined by me.
Is that a second bonus question?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I've got.
Great. Well, then there's the episode and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week in spooky week.
And for real this time, the forms and the scores are in the show notes. My apologies.
He feels really badly about that.